All right, there we'll say. Yeah, there you go, 100%. All right, there we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Dalid. Ayin Dalid. So, where did we leave off?
Case 3. Six lines up.
Good. So we'll say so good. So thank you. So last row of the line, six lines up. Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So again, remember that we were talking about a machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. And the machlokis Rav and Shmuel centered on a situation where a man was Mekadesh a woman al Tanai, Kidsha al Tanai, Vikinsa Stam. But when he married her, he did not repeat the Tanai. So the question was, does the Tanai stand or not? So Rav says that Lamaisa, the Tanai doesn't stand. Because since essentially he did not repeat at the time of Nisuin, and coupled with the fact that Ein Adam Oseh Bi'ilas or Bi'ilas Asnos, he dropped the Tanai. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, the Tanai was stated. The Tanai was stated, the Tanai remains. He doesn't have to restate it at the time of Nisuin. So the Gemara qualified this Machlokes in the fourth wide line on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And the way the Gemara qualified it was saying that the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel is only what we call Machlokes b'shtei nashim, a machlokes what he calls with two women. I was saying, I remember again the case of two women. Lav dafka has to be two women, but the idea over here is that the machlokes only comes up in a situation where there was some type of significant lapse between the two events. So it could be two women. For example, again, remember one of the examples we saw was that you know, Reuven is mekadesh Rachel with the tanai that she has no nedarim on here. Then he's mekadesh Leah, but no tanai. So what do we say? Do we say the fact that he doesn't like to know, that he doesn't like Nadarim indicates that even though he didn't articulate it by Leah, that Tanai is still there or not? So that's where the Machlokis comes up. Or for that matter, if he goes ahead and he marries Rachel, he gives Kiddushin to Rachel with a Tanai, then divorces her from Erisin, then remarries her but doesn't restate the Tanai. So do we say that the original Tanai is there or not? So that's the Machlokis Rav and Shmuel. However, the Gemara suggested, Avabatos Isha Achos, but what we call literally a mistake with one woman. So the mistake with one woman is the case that we mentioned before. With the same woman, he's Mekadesha with a Tanai, but doesn't restate that Tanai by Nisuin. Gemara wanted to suggest that everyone agrees that Ein Tzvicha Meni Get, which is another way of saying everyone agrees that once the Tanai was mentioned by Erisin, it need not be repeated by Nisuin. So that's what the Gemara is holding. Now the Gemara is challenging that assertion. Let's listen to this. The Chachamim agree with Rabbi Eliezer in the following case. A Kitana, ultimately, who was married off by her father, which again, remember, is biblical. Okay, that's fine, thank you. A Kitana was married off by her father, v'niskarsha, then she is divorced by her husband. Now that's a case of what's called the Yisom B'chaya Av, an orphan while their father is alive. Why is she called an orphan while the father is alive? Because remember, the father only has one shot at marrying off his daughter, which means now that if his daughter is divorced, even if she's still a Kitana, father has no longer has any rights to marry her off. V'chzira. So then what happens? Then let's say the husband who divorced her remarried her. So what happens? And then the husband dies. So what's the halacha? Everyone agrees, shecholetzes v'lo misyavemes. And Rabbi Osai, in that case, she does chalitza. The girl does chalitza and not yibum. Why? Mipnei shegerusha gerushin gemurin ve'chazarasa chazara gemura. Because Rabbi Osai, for the simple reason that what? When her husband divorced her, that was bona fide gerushin. But when he remarried her, so that was not bona fide kiddushin, not bona fide marriage. Why not, Rabbi Osai? Because Lamai says kiddushin dirabanan at most. Because remember again, because the father no longer has the rights to marry her off, either one of two things is happening. Either she's accepting kiddushin on her own, or perhaps again her mother or her brother are marrying her off. Either way, because the gerushin was a bona fide gerushin, but the second kiddushin is not a bona fide kiddushin, therefore if the husband dies, her only option is chalitza. The Medrash Amorim, when is this true? Shegir shekishi kitana ve'chzir kishi kitana. That's only if he divorced her while she's a kitana, and he remarried her when she's a kitana. Aval gir shekishi kitana. But if he divorced her when she's a kitana, ve'chzir kishi gidola. But then she remarries when she's a gidola, an adult woman. Oh, shechzir kishi kitana. Or if he remarried her while she was a kitana, but the gadla etzlo. But Rabbah say what? But Lemaisa, again, she becomes an adult while married to the man, and then he dies, Umeis, Ochal Retis, Omis Yabemes. Then Lemaisa, in that case, she has the ability to go ahead and either what? And either do Chalitza. In other words, Rabbah say, what the Gemara is saying over here is the only time that we make her do Chalitza is when he dies and she's still a Ketana. But if he dies and she's a Gedola, and one of two things happened, either he remarried her when she was a Gedola, or she became a Gedola during the course of the marriage, then in that case, she has the ability to do Chalitza or Yibum, Tav of Ayin Dalid, Mishur Rabbi Eliezer Amru, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they said, Choletzes v'lo misyavemes. So what Rabbi Eliezer said, no, she has to do Chalitza and not Yibum. Now, Bosan, what's the logic behind that? Look at Rashi. Mishur Rabbi Eliezer Amru, Choletzes v'lo misyavemes. Af b'shech zira kishihi gedola. Now, Rabbi, this is very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer says that even if the husband remarried her, when what? When she was a gedola. So at this point in time, they have real marriage together. Polik. Vaf b'megarish v'gedola v'chzira v'tama mishum degazer ba mishum yisoma b'chai ha'af. Rabbi, you know what Rabbi Eliezer is concerned in this case is lest you come to confuse it. Rabbi Eliezer is concerned that you may come to confuse the case of gedola with the case of Kitana, and therefore, again, he says you have to do Chalitza. So Gemara says, but 1 second, Fahahacha, in this case over here, where he remarries her as a Kitana, and then she becomes a Gedola, Dikitos Isha Achas Dami Upligi. The Rabbah said, now here's what's interesting. Now remember, again, this is a case what the Gemara would call Kitos Bi Isha Achas. Remember, so let's analyze this case for just a moment. So here you have a case where father married off his daughter. Husband divorced the wife, she's still a Ketana. He remarries her, husband remarries her as a Ketana. Then what happens? Then they remain married, she becomes a Gedola. Now, I will say, remember, the halacha is that once she becomes a Gedola and she continues to live with him, then what? Then, technically speaking, that affects biblical marriage at that point in time. Yet, the Gemara still says, Rabbi Eliezer still says that what? That Lemaisa, if her husband dies, she has to do Chalitza and not Yibum. Now, Rabbi, and then we just got finished saying before that what we call a ta'os bi'isha achas. What we say ta'os bi'isha achas means that when you have a situation of marriage where the state of marriage changed as the marriage went on, everyone agrees that lamaisa, the marriage remains intact. And the marriage remains intact in the highest form possible. So in other words, in this particular case, we would assume that the halacha would be that the marriage has morphed now into a biblical marriage. And once it becomes a biblical marriage, if husband were to die, then what's the halacha? She could do Yibam or Chalitza. And yet we see Rabbi Eliezer still argues in this case. To which the Gemara says, no. It's a different machlokis over here. So the Gemara says, Hasam nami b'hakam eflegi. This is what they're arguing about. Mar savar adam yodeshe in kiddushe ketana klom. V'gamar ubal l'shem kiddushin. Now, Rabbi, they have a much more fundamental machlokas. And Rabbi says, the interesting part about this machlokas is it's a machlokas on how much common people know. So one opinion says, everyone knows that Kiddushei Ketana is klum, is nothing. Now, Rabbi says, it's not nothing. What they mean is it's only rabbinic. Everyone knows that Kiddushei Ketana is only rabbinic. And therefore, what happens when she becomes an adult and they engage in relations? Husband and wife have in mind to what? To affect biblical marriage. Umar Savar, no. Ain Adam Yodea Shein Kiddushei Ketana Klom. No, people do not know that Kiddushei Ketana is just rabbinic. V'chi Kabal Adaita De Kiddushin Harishonim Kabal. And therefore, when they have relations, even when she becomes a Gedola, the assumption is what? They're having relations based on what Rabbi Osai? Based on the first Kiddushin, assuming that their first Kiddushin was absolutely fine. So the fundamental machlokis over here is how much do people know? Do people know that Kiddushei Ketana is only Derabanan? And therefore, again, once she becomes a Gedola, they're going to have Bia L'Shem Kiddushin Doraisa? Or do we assume people don't really know that? And therefore, the Maisa, they assume the marriage that they affected when she was a Ketana is perfectly fine. And therefore, again, that's the marriage pretty much that they exist on. That's the fundamental machlokis. It's Marnami, another case. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaMekadesh Al Tanai Ubal. Well, says another interesting case. A man is Mekadesh Al Tanai, meaning he does Kiddushin with a Tanai, with a condition. And then there's relations. So Divrei HaKol Eino Tzricha Hemena Get. Everyone agrees that Lamaisef, it turns out that the Tanai was unfulfilled. That what? That Lamaisa, again, she does not require a get. In other words, what? In other words, that the Tanai still stands. Even though there was Bia, because we must remember again, Rav was of the opinion that Ein Adam Osa Bi'ilasa Bi'ilasnos. A person doesn't want his Bia to become Bi'asnos. Therefore, even if a person makes a Tanai, Lamaisa, we assume that what? that they forgive that tanai at the time of bia. But you see from here that the tanai is not forgiven; it still remains. So let's say again, he makes a tanai. I'm being mekadesh on the condition that you're not, just keep the case as simple. You're not an adronis. You're not a habitual vower. Right, you're not a chronic vower, and then it turns out that or she'ina layach nedarim, and then what happens? It turns out that she has nedarim, even though there was bia. Nevertheless, the marriage is dissolved. The marriage is voided, and there's no need for a get. So listen to this. So Rav Acha bar Dravika went ahead and raised the kasha. Chalitza mutas kshera. Well, so listen to this. A mistaken chalitza is still kosher. So ask the Gemara, Ezohi chalitza mutas, what exactly is a mistaken chalitza? Amar Reish Lakish, listen to this. Kol she'omer lo chalotzla ubekach atakonsa. So you know what a mistaken chalitza is? This is pretty mistaken. They say to the man, oh, do chalitza with her and you'll be married to her. As well say that it would appear in this kind of case, what's happening here is, we're trying to get the guy to do chalitza, but he doesn't want to do chalitza. So what do? We trick him. We trick him. I tell him, oh yeah, you want to marry her? No problem. Just do this little process where she takes off your shoe, spits in it, and hey, you'll live happily ever after. So we trick him. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Yonasan says, excuse me, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Anishona, I teach in the following way. Bein is kavin hu, v'lo is kavin hi. Whether he had kavana, she didn't have kavana. Bein is kavin hu, v'lo is kavin hu. Or whether she had kavana, he did not have kavana. Chalitzasa pesula achi is kavin shnei. Rabbi Yochanan says, I think you're totally wrong. Right? You can't go ahead and trick a man into doing chalitza. Rather, both parties must have explicit kavana for what it is that's happening. Ve'at amrat chalitza k'shera, and yet you're saying that the chalitza is kasher. Ela amra b'yochan, rather b'yochan meant like this. Kol she'omer lo chalotz la'amanash atitin l'chamasayim zuz. Oh, listen to this. So if she says to him, or we say to him, kol she'omer lo chalotz la'amanash atitin, we do chalitza, and we're going to give you $200. We'll give you $200 if you do, we'll give you $200 on the condition that you do chalitza. Now what's the halacha? The halacha is, that the chalitza is good, even if l'maisa the condition is not fulfilled, even if we never give him the money, the chalitza is still good. Alma, kevan da'avad maisa, achule l'tinoi. So also what the Gemara is trying to prove from this is something very interesting. So I might have thought that we say to the guy, do the chalitza on the condition that I give you $200. So the entire act is predicated on our fulfillment of the condition. So if we don't give him $200, I would have been tempted to say, that's what's the halacha. Chalitza is not good. Kamash lan, it is good. What do you see from here? You see from here that whenever someone engages in an action, the action takes primacy, has primacy over the tanai. Therefore, I will say the application to us would be, hachanami kevan dibal achuli achle l'tanai. So we'll say the application by us would be, that if a man says to a woman, "Hari at mikudeshes li amanas she'in alayach nidarim," just keep the case the same, right? You're mikudeshes on the condition that you have not made any nidarim. You're not bound by any nidarim. And then there's bia, and then it turns out that what? That she's made nidarim. I would say based on this, that what would be the halacha? That the marriage is totally fine, because essentially once he engaged in the bia, or prior to engaging in the bia, pretty much, he's mochel on the tanai. That once he's going to be intimate with her, he's mochel on the tanai. So which contradicts, of course, what we said before, because what the Braisa just said above was that Lamaisa, again, if he made it tanai, and even if there was bia, if the tanai was not fulfilled, then Lamaisa, the marriage is voided, and she leaves without a get. To which the Gemara says, Amrle bar be rav, shapir kamrit, michti, listen to this. Michti. Kol tanai mehecha gamrina. I will say, now it's very important. We'll get into this a little bit more. In general, where do we learn out the laws of Tanaim from? I don't mean Tanaim like by a wedding, right? Where do we learn out the laws of how to make a Tanai? How to make a condition? Oh, so the Gemara says, B'nei Gad u'B'nei Ruvain. We'll say, now what is this referring to over here? This is referring to, remember again, B'nei Gad u'B'nei Ruvain, go ahead and approach Moshe Rabbeinu when Klal Yisrael gets to the Transjordanian lands and says to them like this, Mikne Rav, Lavadach, all right, we have large flocks, why don't we settle here? So Moshe Rabbeinu makes it tonight. He says, okay, you could settle here, but what? You have to first fight with your brothers for Eretz Yisrael. And if you fight with your brothers in Eretz Yisrael, then you will go ahead and you will get the land. So tonight, so what we call Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain becomes the paradigm for that. So we'll say, for example, the most notable part is, for example, the Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain was phrased in the positive and in the negative. If you fight, you will inherit the land here, and if you don't fight, you will not. So we learn from there, for example, that every Tanai must be phrased behein ubalav, must be phrased in the positive, the affirmative, as well as the negative. So the Gemara says, where do we learn out the laws of Tanai from Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain? Listen to this. One of the other things we learn out from there is Tanai de'efshar l'kiyume aydi shaliach kiyasim havi Tanai Tanai. And we'll say, when the Tanai can be executed by a shaliach, then the ma'aseh, the Tanai is a Tanai. Tanai de'efshar l'kiyume aydi shaliach kiyasim lo havi Tanai Tanai. But Rabbi say, when the Tanai cannot be executed through a shliach, like that case, then the Tanai is not a Tanai. Rabbi say, now what does that mean? Now remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, that if you go out and you fight your wars, I will give you your portion. Now remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu was not going into Eretz Yisrael. Who was going to give them their portion? Yeshua. It was going to be Yoshua. But that's okay, because any Tanai that could be executed through a shaliach is a proper Tanai. So the Gemara says, this is why the Chalitza case does not work. Why doesn't the Chalitza case, meaning, we'll say, let me say it when I say not work. So remember, what was the case by Chalitza? Yankel, go ahead and do Chalitza, we'll give you $200, on the condition we'll give you $200. Yankel does the Chalitza, we say, sorry, just joking, right? Not giving him the money. And yet, what? What's the halacha? The Chalitza is still good. Why, Rabbi Yosef? Because the Gemara is suggesting that a Tanai by Chalitza is a totally invalid Tanai. It's bottle. Why is it bottle? Because you can't make a Tanai by Chalitza. Why? Because you can't appoint a Shaliach to go out and do Chalitza. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, v'habia, so you can't. Do you think you can do chalitza through a shaliach? You certainly can't do bia. It'd be a little bit awkward, right? You can't do bia through a shaliach either. In other words, we'll say again. Remember, no commentary from that table over there. I see you guys. Right. So now, what happens? So now what happens? Well, so listen to this. Remember, let's go back for just a moment. What was the case? The case was a man is mekadesh woman on the condition that what? That she doesn't have any nedarim on her. Then there's Bia, and then he finds out that she has Nadarim on her. So the Gemara said that his Tanai still stands, and he could void the marriage. But one second, based on what we just said before, any Tanai that can't be executed through a Shaliach is not a valid Tanai. Bia can't be executed through a Shaliach, so why does the Tanai stand? To which the Gemara says the following, and yet we learn that Tanai still stands. To which Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hasam mishum de iskish havios ladali. Rabbi says that's because when it comes to affecting marriage, the three avenues for affecting marriage, kesef, shtar, and bia, are all compared to each other. And Rabbi says, remember, kesef and shtar can be done through a shaliach, even though bia cannot be done through a shaliach. But at the end of the day, they're all part of the same group. Therefore, they all enjoy the same halacha. So it would appear that ultimately, again, this case of the bia will be the exception to the rule, only because it's considered to be part of the other forms of kiddushin. Amar Rav Ula bar Abba, Amar Rav Ula bar Abba, Amar Ula, Amar Rav Elazar, HaMekadesh b'milva. Well, so it's an interesting case. A man is mekadesh, a woman, with a loan. Rav Ula, now what's the case over here? If Rashi says b'milva, this guy is a real romantic. Right? What happened? So she borrowed $1,000 from him. And he says, I love you, keep it. Right? Right? Marry me, keep it. So what he's doing over here is he's not giving her an item of value. Instead, he's allowing her to keep the money. That's called Mekadesh Benova. I'm sorry? It is value. It is true. Well said. Well said. Right? So it is value. So Rashi says over here, So let's say, we're not going to get into the whys right now, but essentially, quickly, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says that milva lahotzar nitna. Literally, money, when you give someone a loan, so that money is theirs to keep for the duration of the loan. We'll say, now, what does that mean? That the problem over here is, if a person would be obligated, if I borrow $1,000 and I'm obligated to go ahead and repay those very same monies, then okay, if he forgives the money, it can say he's giving me something. But because milva lahotzar nitna, that money is mine until the due date of the loan, and that money is mine to spend, I don't have to give back the same exact coins I borrowed, obviously, then it's not considered as if he's giving her an item of value. Or, that's mechadesh milva. Or, I'm sorry, let me finish the sentence. Oh, was Hamakadish Milva Ubal. See, was Makadish with alone, and then there was Bia. Al Tnai Ubal, or is Makadish with the Tnai with the condition, and then there was Bia. Bebachus Shavarpruta Ubal, or he was Makadish with less than a Shavarpruta, an item. Excuse me. Thank you. An item less than a Shavarpruta, and then there was Bia. Divrei Hakol Tzricha Himena Get. So we're saying all of these cases, we assume that the marriage is good. That's what it means. When we say Tzricha Himena Get, that's another way of saying the marriage is a good marriage. Amar Rav Yosei bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami. So Rav Yosei comes along and says, HaMekhalish Pachos Mishavar Pruto Ubal Tzricha Himena Get. No, it's only the case of a man who is Mekhalish woman with an item less than a Shavar Pruta, and there was Bia, that you require a get. So the Gemara says, Baha, Hu Delotoy, because it's only in this case. Now remember, the whole chap over here in these cases is you have a fundamentally flawed kiddushin, but then what do you have? You have bia. I will say, so the shaila at play over here is, do we say that a person realizes that their kiddushin was fundamentally flawed and therefore relied on the bia to affect the marriage or not? So that's the fundamental issue over here. So the first opinion says, in all of these cases, mekadesh b'pachos mishavar pruta, or mekadesh b'milva, kadesh b'milva, or mekadesh al tanai, kadesh b'pachos mishavar pruta. In all of these cases, because there was bia, we assume that a person knew that the first form of kiddushin was flawed and relied on the bia to affect the kiddushin. Rabbi Ami says, not true. The only case that a person makes him doesn't that a person knows with absolute certainty that was a mistake was mekadesh b'pachos mishavar pruta. Everyone knows you have to use an item that's at least a shavar pruta. So in that case, he knows that his kiddushin was flawed, and therefore he relies on the bia. Aval b'hanach toy. But I've also said in the other cases, people don't realize that their vehicle for kiddushin was flawed, and therefore they do not rely on the bia to go ahead and affect proper marriage because they think they affected proper marriage already. But because they think they affected proper marriage, they don't rely on the bia to affect real marriage, and therefore, again, the marriage itself is not a bona fide marriage. HaMekadesh al Tanai Ubaal. If a man is Mekadesh woman with a Tanai and then there's Bia, Tzricha Himena Get. So she requires a get from him. Because I will say the assumption over here is that Lamais. Now, the assumption the Gemara is making is that once there's Bia, he kind of forgives the Tanai. He forgives the Tanai. So the Gemara says, Zahayamai. So this once happened. And the Chachamim literally did not have the ability to remove her from the marriage without the get, meaning that she required a get, even though there was a Tanai, and even though it turned out that what? That she was in violation of the Tanai, the assumption was that once there was Bia, so he kind of forgave the Tanai. So the Gemara says, Afuki meha tano. So this comes to exclude the opinion of the following Tana. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, we'll listen to this. V'hilo nispasa. Remember again, this is talking about the case of where a woman committed adultery. She had relations with a man who's not her husband. So the Torah says, V'hilo nispasa asura. Now, the only time that a woman is prohibited with adultery is when she was complicit and willing in it. But so she literally, V'hilo nispasa means she was not forced. She was not coerced. So the Gemara says, if she was not coerced, then asura, then she's usher to her husband. Hai ha nispasa mutaras. But obviously, if she was forced, God forbid, if she was violated, then of course she's still permitted to her husband. However, the Gemara says, V'yesh lecha acheres, there is another case, sha'af api shalonispasa, that even though she was not coerced, muteres, she is still permitted to her husband. So we'll say, so where is there a case of a woman who had relations with another man, and she was not coerced, but yet she'll still be permitted to her husband? I'm going to tell you, v'ezo, which case is this? Zo ze kidusha kidushetos. We'll say this is a case of kiddushei tos. Sha'afilu b'na murkav al kasefa. Even if she has a child literally sitting on her shoulder. Mima enes v'olech esla. We'll say what happens? She has the ability to refuse the marriage and ultimately again move on. Now we'll say, so what is this referring to over here? So remember, this kind of holds that if there was a tanai, there was a tanai of some sort, and the tanai was not fulfilled, even though there was bia, still the marriage itself will be voidable. So you could have a situation over here where the maisa, again, the woman was with a man who's not her husband, and she was not coerced, yet she's still going to technically be permitted to her husband. How can you have a case like that, where you have a marriage that was done al-tanai, the tanai was not lived up to, Therefore, the marriage was voided. So even though she has a child with husband number one, Lamaisa, technically, she's not married to him because the Kiddushin has been voided. So both sides, you just see a fundamental machlokis unfolding over here. That when there was Kiddushin with the Tanai, but yet, again, there was Bia afterwards, and the Tanai was not restated at the time of the Bia, does the Tanai carry into the marriage or not? Fundamental machlokes. Again, the truth is it comes back to the fundamental machlokes really between Rav and Shmuel that we saw in Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara Baiter, Tan Rabbanan, Hocha Itzel Chacham Ve'etira. Rabbos is an interesting case. Let's say she went to the Chacham. Now, Rabbos say, now the case over here is the same case we've been dealing with until now, which is that husband says, Hari Atne Kudesh Asli, become married to me on the condition that you have no Nidarim, that you have no Nidarim on you. So what happens? Let's say it turns out that they get married, and she's a vower. She's a habitual vower. And so what happens? And it turns out that she has a vow. She has a neder on her. But what does she do? She goes to the Chacham, and the Chacham is matir neder. The Chacham is matir neder. So what's the halacha? Mikudeshes. The marriage stands. Marriage stands. I'm going to say we'll discuss it in just a moment. However, let's say he's mekadesh on the condition that she doesn't have a mum, that she has no blemishes. And what happens? They get married and he discovers that she has a blemish. But good news, Eitzel Rofe, Veripa Osa. But then she goes to the doctor, and the doctor heals her blemish. What's Talocha? Eina Mekudeshes. The Kiddushin is not good. So asks the Gemara, Ma Ben Chacham LeRofe, I don't understand, what's the difference in the two cases? Well, sorry, remember he told me, in the case where he's Mekadesh Shal tonight, that she doesn't have any Nedarim. And then it turns out she has a neder, and she goes to the Chacham. The Chacham is matir neder, the marriage is good. But yet, in the case where it's Mekadesh on the condition that she doesn't have a mum, and she goes to the doctor, gets the mum fixed. You still said that what? That Lamaisa, the marriage is not good. What's the distinction? I'll tell you, says the Gemara. Chacham okeres haneder meikaro. Oh, Rabbi said, listen to this. How does Hataras Nedarim work? Now remember, Rabbi said, don't confuse this with Hataras Nedarim that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because that's a little bit of a different mechanism. What we're calling over here of being Matir Neder is the process of what's called finding a Pesach. Rabbi said, so finding a Pesach says like this. A person comes to a Chacham and says, listen, I made this Neder and I really regret it. So the Chacham says, so why do you regret it? Because this Neder causes me X hardship. So the Chacham says to me, listen, had you known that the neder would have caused you this hardship at the time that you made the neder, would you have made it to begin with? And I answer, of course, no. That's called finding a Pesach, an opening. When you find a Pesach, what that does is it retroactively annuls the neder. Therefore, in this case over here, when she goes to the Chacham, even though she's going when? Well, so when is she going? After her marriage already. So technically she's in violation of the Tanai. But when she goes to the Chacham and the Chacham finds the Pesach, what does that do? It retroactively annuls the Neder. Once retroactively annuls the Neder, then it turns retroactively that what? That she's living in conformance of the Tanai. On the other hand, Verofe, Einu Merafe Ele Mekan Labo. Well, so when she goes to the doctor to fix the Mum, that's fine from here on in. But it doesn't change the fact that what? That she was in violation of the Tanai at the time of that the marriage was affected. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, but we learned, Eitzel Chacham Ve'etira, Eitzel Rofe Veripa Osa, Eina Mekudesh. But yet we learned Rabosai, another brisa that says that if she had a vow and she went to the Chacham and he was Matirit, or she had a blemish and she had a mum and she went to the Rofe and the doctor healed it, in these cases she's not Mekudesh. So this contradicts the previous brisa. Rabosai, now again, it doesn't contradict the din by the Rofe, excuse me, but it does contradict the din by who? It does contradict the din by Hataras Adaran, by the Chacham. Amarava lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Listen to this. Har Rabbi Meir, Har Rabbi Lozer. Both say it's a fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lozer. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? So Rabbi Meir, Har Rabbi Meir, Har Rabbi Lozer. Har Rabbi Meir de Omer, Adam Rote, Shetisbaze Isho be Bezdin. Now, both say literally this means that a man wants his wife to be degraded in Bezdin. Now, both say, no, nobody wants his wife to be degraded in Bezdin. What this means is like this. Say when you go to Beis Din, so the truth is it's and for Hataras Nedarim, it's like airing your dirty laundry. People often talk all different types of Nedarim on themselves. So the notion of going to Beis Din having to discuss these things publicly is very embarrassing. Rabbi Meir says a man doesn't mind if his wife has to be a little bit embarrassed in Beis Din if it's going to potentially save their marriage. Right? So he's willing to go ahead, he's willing to have his wife it would be the same for him as well. But he's willing to have her suffer the little bit of humiliation if it's going to ultimately save their marriage. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, the Amar Adam wrote, it's okay, even if she's going to be a little bit embarrassed, that little bit of embarrassment is worth it. And on the other hand, Rabbi Meir, the Amar Adam wrote, says this baza Ishra Bezdin, Ha Rabbi Lazar, the Amar, in Adam Rotzesh et Isbaza Isra Beisdin. Rabbi Lazar, on the other hand, says, you know what? I don't want private business being divulged in front of other people. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, he doesn't want the wife going to Beisdin and discussing the Nadarim. And therefore what? He would sooner dissolve the marriage than have his wife discuss these private matters in Beisdin. Rashi says, he never had in mind that she should ever have to go to a chacham or to a bezin for a tarzadam. So we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting now is that, remember, we have a stir of a contradiction between two brisos. The Gemara is suggesting, in fact, it's not a stir, it's not a contradiction at all, but rather, what is it? It's a machlokes. Two different opinions. The first brisa said that what? That lemaisa, if he was mekhadesh or al tanai, that she has no nedarim. And then it turns out that she has nedarim. And she says, honey, don't worry, I'll just go to the Chacham, and the Chacham will find the Pesach for me. So according to Rabbi Meir says, fine, that works. Because Adam wrote shit is baze Yisrael Bezin. A man doesn't mind if it's going to save the marriage, go to the Chacham. It's going to be a little bit embarrassing, but go to the Chacham, we'll do atar, so then we'll take care of it. The second brisa that says that process does not work, the Kiddushin is voided because she's in violation of the Tanai. That's Rabbi Lazar, who says that a man does not want his wife going into Beis Din to go ahead and what? Going into Beis Din to go ahead and do Atar Sadam because it's too embarrassing. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Maihi. So what's the case where Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir actually disagree? This now, listen to this. Hamotzias ishto mishum neder. Well, it's interesting halacha, actually. A man divorces his wife because of a neder. Now, look at this Rashi for just a moment. Mishum neder shahaisa nadranis. Now, remember, this is not a case over here of where there's a tnai with kiddushin. This is a case over here of where he's saying to her, she makes too many vows. See, he wants to divorce her because she's an adronis. So what happens? So lo yachzir. The halacha is, he may not remarry her. He may not remarry. Now, both say, now look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Lo yachzir. Mefarish from Mesechas Gein Trey Taimi. Ika lemadar mishum kilkula. Shem ato omer yachzir shematelech vetinase. Venimtsa shemra shenu shemra. O neder neakai de chacham. So let's listen to this. The Braisa says, Hamotzias ishtu mishum neder lo yachzir, mishum shemra lo yachzir. We'll say, if a man divorces his wife because she's constantly making nedarim, or he's divorcing her because of shemra, because there's a rumor that she's committing adultery, once he divorces her because of these reasons, he is never permitted to remarry her. Now, both say, now what's the concern over here? The concern is like this. A man's going to divorce his wife because he hears rumors that she's committing adultery. And what happens? And it turns out that it's not true. Now, in the interim, what's happened with her? She's remarried. He comes to Eisen and he says that what? Oh, had I known that she was not committing adultery, I would have never divorced her. And Abba said, now the scary part about a statement like that is what? That the Gemara Maseches Gittin brings down, that it could cast a shadow on the authenticity or effectiveness of the get. And obviously, if she's remarried, and let's say she has kids, that could be a very scary process. Same idea over here, that Lemaisa, a man divorces his wife because she makes too many nedarim, and then it turns out that when she gets remarried, she has a new family, happy life, and then he finds out that, oh, I could have gone ahead and voided those nedarim. Had I known that, I would have never divorced her. Also creates a scary situation for her. So therefore, what do we say to a man? Just understand, if you divorce your wife because she's an adronis or because of shemra, you are never permitted to remarry her. Now, I will say, understand what that means. Under normal circumstances, if a man divorces his wife, assuming she did not remarry anyone else, what's that halacha? And assuming he's not a kohen, he could remarry her. In these cases, we tell him, you may not remarry her. So just understand, when you divorce her, all divorces are final. And we do this in order that he cannot in any way compromise her going forward by showing up and saying, had I known then what what I know now, I would have never divorced her. We don't want anyone saying that. Therefore, the divorce is absolutely final. Rabbi Huda says, Kol neder shiyadu bo rabim lo yachzir. Rabbi Huda says that any neder that was known by the rabbim, lo yachzir. Ultimately, again, look at Rashi just a moment. Kol neder shiyadu bo rabim, shenadarto b'fnei asara. If she made nedarim in public, then ultimately, again, lo yachzir. Then ultimately, if a husband divorces his wife because of this, of a neder shiyadu bo rabim, then he may not go ahead and remarry her for that purpose also. Rabbi Meir says, Kol neder shetzarech hakiras chacham, lo yachzir. Rabbi Meir says, any neder, meaning if he's divorcing her because of nedarim, and she made a type of neder that requires, again, chakiras chacham, that will require meaning that the husband himself can't annul it, that would require a chacham to annul it, lo yachzir. He cannot go ahead and remarry her. V'she'in l'tzara chakiras chacham yachzir. But Rabbi Meir, if it's the type of neder that he himself could annul, then even if he divorced her, l'maisa, again, he could still remarry her. Skip the parentheses. Amr Rabbi Lazar argues and he says, lo asru tzarech ela mipnei she'eno tzarech. That ultimately, again, Rabbi Lazar says, technically speaking, we only answer the case of tzarech hakiras chacham, lest you come to confuse it with the case of ino tzarech hakiras chacham. Meaning Rabbi Lazar says that at the end of the day, we're not so concerned about the case of where she's making a neder that requires hakiras chacham and he divorces her because of that. We're much more concerned about the case of the neder where he did have the power to annul it and now will claim that he didn't realize he had the power to annul it. That could cast aspersions on the get, but we answer the case of tzarech, lest you come to confuse it with the case of Eino Tzarech. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Huda. What's Rabbi Huda's logic? I mean, we'll remember again, Rabbi Huda was the one who said that kol neder sheyadu bo rabim lo yachzir, that if she makes a neder ultimately that was known by the rabbim and he divorces her because of that neder, that halacha lemaisa he may not remarry her. What's Rabbi Huda's logic? The Chsiv, because the pasuk says velo hikum bnei Yisrael ki nishbu lohem nisiyah ha'ida. But then that is an interesting case. Rashi points out begivon Chsiv. Remember again, this is the case of where they made a treaty. Klal Yisrael made a treaty with the Givonim. Now the Givonim were one of the indigenous nations of Canaan, and therefore should have either been offered an opportunity to leave or to be wiped out by Klal Yisrael. The difference is the Givonim went ahead and disguised themselves as a foreign people. Klal Yisrael made a treaty with them. It was then discovered that in fact they are not a foreign people, but in fact what? They are indigenous to the land of Canaan. So Klal Yisrael was stuck. But nevertheless, they did not kill out the Givonim. Why? Because again, the people, the leaders of the tribe, made a shvua to them, made an oath to them. So you see from here that what? That a neder shehuda berabim doesn't have revocation. You can't revoke such a vow. The kamarab, and therefore again, therefore Rabbi Huda will say that's the case where the ma'aseh, if she's making the darim like that and he divorces her because of the darim, that's the case where we tell him lo yachzir. So the kamarabim, ultimately again, how much is a rabbin? When you talk about a neder that's made in public, how much is public? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Shlosha. Excuse me. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says three people. Where do we get this from? Because the pasuk says yamim. When it says yamim shnayim, that means two. Rabim shlosha. Rabim ultimately, again, means three. So therefore, again, neder shudab rabim will mean a neder that is made in front of three people. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, asara. It's 10 people. Why? Because eidah ksiv behu. Because ultimately it says eidah. It's because it uses the word eidah. And also, whenever you see the word eidah, what's the halacha? Eida always means 10. Rabbi Meir. All right, let's just finish this. Rabbi Meir Omer kol neder shetzarech hakiras chacham lo yachzir. Rabbi Lazar Omer lo asru tzarech. Actually, Rabbi Lazar, we're gonna stop over here. We'll stop with Rabbi Meir. But I will say just to recap a little bit as to what it is. Yeah, let's stop. This is a good place to stop, actually. So I'll say, just to recap a little bit what's happening over here. So remember, again, this whole conversation got triggered by a machlokes, or a stira, I should say, in Brysos. The whole conversation gets triggered because, remember, there are two different Brysos. One Brysa says that if he's Mekadesh or Al-Tanai, and then it turns out that what? That the Tanai, that she's in violation of the Tanai, but she can go to the Chacham to go ahead and annul the Tanai. So one Brysa says, fine, get the annulment, the Noman takes care of the Tanai the Nezer retroactively, and retroactively it turns that she's in conformance with Tanai. The other Braisa says, no, that doesn't work. So how do we reconcile those Braisa? The Gemara says two different opinions, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meir. The Shaila is, does the husband want this process of revocation of vows to take place or not? One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. Hence, that accounts for the two different Braisos. But I'll tell you something interesting that does come out from this, because this whole discussion over here, that if a man divorces his wife because of Shemra or because of Neder, that ultimately we tell him that you can never go ahead and remarry his wife. So you should know that today, when a man gives a woman a get, so we tell him that understand that under no circumstances can you void the get. Meaning, even if you go ahead and you discover new information later on that you did not know at the time of the get, you hereby waive any right to go ahead and void the get. Now remember, he can remarry her if he wants, in a regular case of divorce, he can remarry her, but we are explicit in telling him that should you walk out of this office after you gave the get and discover new piece of information that you did not know before, and he said, oh, had I known that, I would have never divorced my wife, you hereby waive that right, and we make him articulate that waiver in front of witnesses, because the notion that a husband could show up at a later date and say, oh, I didn't know that. Nobody read me my rights, right? Nobody read me my rights. I did not know that this was a reality, that I could have done this or I could have done that. So you say to him, whatever you do know, whatever you don't know, you agree at this point in time that it does not matter. You give this get wholeheartedly without any condition and the divorce is final. All right, we'll stop over here. 8:15. 8:15.